So good morning. Happy Sabbath. How's everybody doing? Yeah, some people are tired because they've been traveling for one whole month. So I'm so glad to see Shakira's family. Am I correct? Your mom, your sisters, and your niece. And also I have my sister, my elder sister, Androsia Pierre, and I'm so glad to see everybody else. And we're going to be talking in the name of the Lord. This message will be not an ordinary message. It will be a little bit, you will see it. Pray that God will be with us as we will go deep into that message. So today I have decided not to project it on the screen because I want to go through the whole message. Otherwise, it would take longer than that. The title of my message is in the bulletin, Dress Rehearsal in the Real Deal. What is the title of it? Dress Rehearsal in the Real Deal. I think many of us are used to that thing, dress rehearsal. Am I correct? Are you sleeping? Are you hungry? Are you sad? What's going on with the church? Anyway, it was the scripture reading. Thank you, my brother. It was Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 and verse 7. Unfortunately, it seems that we have forgotten to give on number 7, which is the central piece of our message for today. The purpose of this message, the purpose is actually to wake up the church members because there is a triple dangers that are lurking them. The first danger is that they are running head down toward a Sunday law that the majority are not prepared for. One of the reasons for that is that they are not informed of the fulfillment of the last day prophecies. And sadly, they are voluntarily ignorant of the Bible as are the worldlings. The second danger is that they are running blindly and carelessly toward the close of probation, as were the antediluvians. They are running carelessly toward the wrath of God, which will be poured out on the wicked without mixture, much worse than what happens to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Jerusalem at its destruction in 70 AD. Let us pray. Dear Father, I have prayed and you have revealed to me that I need to preach. And I have decided to obey your voice to preach. I pray that this message in particular may be a blessing to us, but may be a reason to uplift your name, to glorify you, and to bless your name. Bless this church and everyone who will be following online, whether it be live or in replay. Give us your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. So dress rehearsal meaning, according to Oxford Languages, dress rehearsal is the final, I need you to stay closer to me. I need your attention, your undivided attention, please. According to Oxford Languages, dress rehearsal is the final rehearsal of a live show in which everything is done as it would be in a real performance. Wikipedia.org says that during the dress rehearsal, the piece or pieces are typically played in their entirety. I hope the whole church will help me think. Kids, young people, and adults. I'm going to go back to Oxford definition of dress rehearsal. Dress rehearsal, according to Oxford Languages, is the final rehearsal of a live show. That means every other rehearsal or repetition has already been done. Before the dress rehearsal preceding the public performance, which prominent people call, according to the context, real deal. So far, I hope I have not lost anybody. And everybody is on the same page with me. Let me repeat that. Every other rehearsal or repetition has already been done before the dress rehearsal that precedes the public performance, which prominent people call, according to the context, real deal. So far, one more time, I have not lost anybody. Keep going. According to Wikipedia.org, it is when the piece or pieces are typically played in their entirety. Meaning before the real deal. That means everything that should be done before the actual show has been played during the time of repetition so that no mistake on the stage will be made. You put the dress on in the final rehearsal before the live show is presented to the public. But before the dress rehearsal, many repetitions have been made to prepare people for the final one. All right. When my fiancé and I were preparing for our wedding, months before, we have chosen some young people like Merlin. She's right here. She was one of our, bridesmaids. We have chosen young people to work in the cottage or procession as bridesmaids and groomsmen. There were a recorded music that was being played as they walked down the aisle of the church. Everything was well prepared before the big day so that we would not be ashamed. They are not idiots, I'm telling you. People who talk about dress rehearsal are not idiots. They are intelligent people, and you will see in what context they use dress rehearsal. The phrase dress rehearsal was used by some powerful individuals during the COVID-19 pandemic. This should not be new to anybody, though I know 100%, I am 100% sure that the majority here in this room have no clue about what I'm talking about or what I will be talking about in this message. Those who use the phrase dress rehearsal are not idiots. One more time. I want everyone to put this in their mind. Let us do a little history, recent history. From 2020 to 2023. Recently, during the COVID-19 pandemic, we all remember that churches were closed, but liquor, beer, and alcoholic beverages were open, boutiques were open. You will remember that you could not talk against the vaccine or against the disease itself. So the First Amendment was abolished concerning freedom of speech and religion. You will remember that when churches were allowed to open, church members should skip rows or benches, meaning every other row. You sit in this pew right here. Nobody can sit in the following one, but the following one you can sit on. That's how it was. In many cases, everyone entering the church should write their name, phone number, and their address in the greeters book. I remember in 2020, I went to Florida participating in a funeral of one of my best friends. And then I was with my daughters, and we went there. My sister was there too. And we've got to put our name in a book. It was a requirement. And it was prohibited in some churches that you cannot sing. Because if you sing, you will contaminate other church members. Church members should respect a 6 feet distance between each other. Pastors got arrested for opening their churches even when church members were not there. Grocery stores were allowed to open except with a certain number of clients inside. That was the case in Walmart. Signs were placed on the floor to ask customers to stay 6 feet apart. Transparent windows were placed between customers and cashiers or tellers in banks. Everyone should wear a mask. Some people still today we will get to that. But many people, even when the disease was gone, some people still used it. Everyone should wear a mask or a double mask, or if not a triple mask, even in the streets. Schools, colleges, and universities were closed, but were allowed to operate online. That's how we have churches operating online now. People say, I will not go to church. I will stay home. There will be good pastors, good preachers preaching online. So my church is home or online. Everyone, you cannot buy, you cannot sell without having what? The mask, or without having what? The jab. If you didn't take the jab, you cannot buy. You cannot sell. If you don't have the mask, you cannot buy. You cannot sell. Highlight that. Everyone should receive a COVID-19 jab, without which you cannot buy, sell. You cannot go to school. You cannot go to church. You cannot go to public places. Everyone having a cell phone is track and trace. How do you say it again? There's another way you say it. Because I remember when COVID-19 was completely done, I received a text from the government saying, we're not tracing anybody anymore. And how do they do that? There were other restrictions. Travelers were prevented from boarding an airplane if at least they have not got one jab, not even booster. Sometimes boosters, you need to have at least one booster before you can travel online in airplane or train or buses. People such as many church members got their bank account locked for refusing to take the job. You remember there was a big demonstration, or you can protest, truck drivers protest in Canada, and they prevented them from getting access to their bank account. And every time that I go to Niagara Falls or to New York, to Canada, you can see the bridge on top. You see a lot of trucks. And there was a 14 to 15 days quarantine when you have the virus. No exception. Even the two presidents, talking about Donald Trump and what is his name? Biden. They have to stay home. During that time, those who did not have the COVID-19 passport were not able to travel in public transportation. I said that already. And there is one that was there and that's still here. 15-minute city. Have you heard about it? 15-minute city. And there is a CBDC that is almost global now. There are many more other restrictions. It was a time of hell. You cannot see your mother. You cannot see your grandparents because you don't want to contaminate them. My father-in-law, we spent about at least 1 year, we could not even go see him right over there because of COVID-19. It was hell on earth when finally the federal government decided, and you know that many people, hundreds of thousands of people lost their job because of that. They want one world government. Now, let me ask a question. Who want to go back to that time? Raise your hand. Was it a good time? Did you love it? You did. If you did not, that means you don't want to go back there. But let me tell you something. Many people want to go there. They want to go back to that time. Hear what the Secretary General of United Nations, Antonio Guterres, said on September 22nd, 2020. To the General Assembly of Organization. He said COVID-19 dress rehearsal for a world of challenges to come. World cannot afford great fracture between two largest economies, he warns. But he called COVID-19 what? Dress rehearsal. And you know what dress rehearsal is all about? I told you. It is a play that is taking place before the final one. And every piece has been played. All pieces entirely before you get to the real deal. Here we go. Today we face our own 1945, he said. The pandemic is a crisis unlike any we have ever seen. But it is also the kind of crisis that we will see in different forms again and again. They told you up front. They told you you will see it again and again in different forms. And he continued, COVID-19 is not only a wake-up call, it is a dress rehearsal for the world of challenges to come. If you want to know where I got it from, go to press, press.un.org/en/2020/sgsm2026.7.doc.htm. If you want to have it, I have it. In the Los Angeles Times, I read COVID was a dress rehearsal, not even the same person, dress rehearsal for global climate change. And it didn't go well. He continues, this man, Nicholas Goldberg, the Los Angeles Times columnist, said on August 19, 2021, that COVID-19 is a nightmare that has left more than 600,000 people dead in the United States alone. But from the very start, it was also a clear dress rehearsal. I'm not talking in vain. Follow me closely. For the looming global catastrophe of climate change, which is barreling toward us and likely to wreak more damage than the pandemic. And this man continues, a dress rehearsal for disruption. Why COVID-19 has been a sustainability wake-up call. As wildfires rage on multiple continents, and with COVID or COP26 on the horizon, will leaders finally realize that the climate crisis is a health crisis? So they put together, they mix them up, they say COVID-19 is a problem of climate crisis. Both of them, they want to use them for what? To come up with a global government. And with that global government, there would be one world religion. And in the bottom of the one world religion, there would be one day of worship, which would be what? Sunday. And you will see that earlier we saw that if you didn't wear the mask or if you didn't even have the jab, you cannot buy, you cannot sell. That's why they call it dress rehearsal. You cannot go to church. That's why they call it dress rehearsal. You cannot go to school. That's why they call it dress rehearsal. And many other restrictions that I have just read for you, that's why they call it dress rehearsal. And if they call it dress rehearsal, that means the performance will come after. The true performance will come after. Horrible dress rehearsal. Some commentators have described the pandemic as a really horrible dress rehearsal for the disruption we could face in a future warming world, says Tania Steele, CEO of the environmental charity WWF UK. It is a landmark moment. If you want to know more about it, just go to www.ft.com, partner content, something. If you want to have it, just come and I will give it to you after divine service. So what does it mean? If these prominent people, many more have said the same thing. There is no time to browse the internet to get the information about everyone who has said it. If these prominent people say it loud and clear that the COVID-19 pandemic was a dress rehearsal, what does that mean? Who is rehearsing? There should be someone rehearsing. What is being rehearsed? I told you earlier. Why is a rehearsal necessary? Because they don't want to make mistake. They don't want to make mistake. You need to repeat something before you go to the public. Otherwise, you will tremble like that. You need to know what you're doing. They call it COVID-19 pandemic. They call it dress rehearsal. Okay. Now, about 3 weeks ago, we heard about a new one, a new variant of COVID-19. The World Health Organization, WHO, said it is now officially tracking real deal. Don't forget, we have been talking about dress rehearsal for COVID-19. Now they call the new variant real deal. The same people who call it before dress rehearsal call it now real deal. And the name of this new variant is BAX or Iris, which is a false god, Greek god, pagan god. I think it's E-R-I-S. E-R. That's the way it is. So, it is also called Aries, as I told you, come in with the following symptoms. Here are the symptoms. Fever or chills, cough, shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, fatigue, muscle or body aches, headache, no loss of taste or smell, sore throat, congestion or runny nose, nausea or vomiting, diarrhea are the new symptoms of the real deal. They call it real deal. A COVID variant, this is WHO, W-H-O, a COVID variant dubbed, that means the surname of COVID, the new variant, or called, you can say dubbed or called. The real deal, this is WHO said that, a COVID variant dubbed the real deal is being officially tracked by WHO officials. Emily Gregg, senior health reporter for Mail Online, is the person who wrote for for WHO WHO organization. She said that in August 17, 2023, we are just on September 2nd. If you want to know more about it, go to dailymail.co.uk and you will know more about it. And it says, schools, and did you know that schools start to close as I'm talking to you? Because of the variant? Mask mandates are being enforced in schools, universities, and Hollywood, even in Hollywood filmmakers. Did you know that the president has already, he said it out loud, everybody can Google it. He said they spent $1.5 billion on vaccine for the new variant. $1.5 billion. The new COVID variant, real deal COVID variant, is now in Britain. Patients are hospitalized. You can get that in August 18, 2023. Mask mandate, I'm just reading for you, and we will go to the Bible. Bear with me. Atlanta College reinstates mask mandate due to rise in encompassed COVID cases by Jennifer Lacey and Brittany Ford. It says Atlanta's Maurice Brown College has reinstated its mask mandate. The university is the first in the nation to do so. In case, this is what the president says, in case of a positive COVID-19 test, isolate for at least 5 days and inform your instructor for virtual class arrangements. The institution will follow CDC guideline. He asks everybody to wear masks, physical distancing, large gatherings, guidelines, isolation and quarantine, contact tracing, symptom monitoring, regular hand washing, sanitization. All these are in process as I'm talking to you. Major movie studio, as I said, brings back mask mandate amid spike in COVID-19 cases by Yaron Steinbach, August 22nd, 2023. So Hollywood, Lionsgate has already enforced mask mandate, everything like that. Now, don't forget, they call it real deal. And I'm asking you, do you want to go back there? Now, if they had their dress rehearsal, they have their real deal. How about God? How about God? Does God, has he dressed me so as well? Let's see. There are many schools that are closed. I'm not going to talk about it. I have them right before me. Let's see what we have. The dragon and the beast coming out of the sea. Don't forget, everything that they do now is to come up with what? Sunday law. That's the goal of coming with Sunday law. And I'm telling you, if someone is not well grounded, well rooted in the principles of the Bible, in keeping the Ten Commandments, in obeying God, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior, you will be wiped out. You will be wiped out. The dragon and the beast coming out of the sea. Let's go to Revelation 13, verse 4, please. Revelation 13, verse 4. And you can read with me. And they worship. You know, when they come up with Sunday as day of rest, what is in their mind? What do they want to realize? The Bible is clear about the meaning of this movement. They know what they want to do. Because the American Constitution prohibits, the First Amendment prohibits a legislation in favor of any religion, preventing people to speech or to speak. It says, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. We will go into it. And they worship the beast. Don't forget, gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So here we say, the dragon has given power unto the beast so that the beast can be worshipped. But behind the beast, who is being worshipped? It is a dragon. And you and I know the dragon is none other than the devil. Or who? Satan or the serpent. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So it is, as you can see, this is global. When I'm talking about global government, the Bible is clear. Nobody can gainsay that. The Bible is clear that there will be a global worship of one man. But people do not understand it, because it says clearly, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? Those that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. This is global. And it says him. That means one person will have power over the whole earth. That has already passed. We have this already in the Dark Ages, when Catholic Church, particularly the Pope of Rome, led the church, his church, to kill millions among the Protestants. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Ha! What did you read? It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Let me see the hand of those who will worship the man. Can somebody? Nobody will worship the man? Whose name? That's a big difference. He said, all the earth will worship him. But there are people who will not worship him. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. So if your name is not in the book of the Lamb, you will worship. No matter what you say today, no matter what you think today, no matter what you do today, it doesn't mean that you will not worship if you're not well grounded in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you will yield. Like this morning we were studying the lesson. You will yield. You will pledge your allegiance no longer to Jesus Christ, but to the power that be. Now, the dragon, verse 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. That means America will exercise all the power of the first beast, which is Rome, Catholic Church, the Pope of Rome, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. That is the ultimate goal of the dragon, to have power over the earth, so to be worshipped. To have this power, they use all kinds of scare tactics. One of the ways they do that is using crisis that in many cases they have fabricated themselves. Verse 16, you remember we were talking about the dress rehearsal. During COVID-19, you were not able to buy or sell if you didn't have the job or if you didn't wear a mask. This verse 16 and this verse 17 will show you what will happen in the true performance. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, all, please, small and great, because there will be two categories of people, two classes, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. We will be in a communist world, not a capitalist world anymore. Communist world. There are so many things that we could talk about. To receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Who was able to go to school? Who was able to go to church? Who was able to do everything they were permitted to do? Those that had the mask and those that received the jab. The same thing, they call it dress rehearsal. The same thing will happen in the true performance. This will be the real deal. All right. Now, if you have the mark of the beast on your forehead or on your right hand, you will be able to do everything if you worship the beast. Verse 15, it says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We don't want to talk about it now. Because once you do not accept to have the mark of the beast, you cannot buy nor sell. And they say, oh, you're still doing that? You don't want to keep Sunday? And they will come up with the death decree. That will be the end game. To eradicate those who serve the Lord from the earth. So to have total, complete, and total power. God is the only one that deserves and that has that power. Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and on earth. Verse 5 of Genesis 5, 6, verse 5. Verse 5 of Genesis 6. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I'm telling you, this is the same thing in our time. As I'm talking, the men do not think about good, about noble, about elevated, about uplift. No, everything that they think about is evil in our time. Think about the LGBT movement trying to force their will upon the church. Humankind, verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy men. This is God's dress rehearsal. The first flood, the flood, the universal flood, it was God's rehearsal. You're talking about your rehearsal? He was my dress rehearsal. I destroyed every human being on earth except for eight. Noah, his wife, his three male children, and their individual wives. And every animal except for those that I asked Noah to take with him in the ark. But everyone else were dead. This is God's rehearsal, because there will be another one coming up. Both men and beasts and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made man. Genesis 6 verse 7. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open. Verse 17, and the floods was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Verse 16, and they that went in went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Who closed the door? Who shut the door? God. This is the probationary time of the antediluvian that was closed, as it will be in our time. Verse 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowls and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man died. All die. Verse 22. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and of all that was in the dry land died. That's verse 22. Now, let me go with you, please, to another one. Before I go there, when God finished to destroy the earth, he called Noah and he made a covenant with him and with the earth, to say that he will no longer destroy the earth with what? With water. But did God say that I will no longer destroy the earth? God did not say that. God said, okay, I will no longer destroy the earth with a flood. But God will destroy the earth with what? Fire. Because the water cannot clean the earth. The cleansing of the earth cannot be done with water. The sins cannot be expired by water. It will be by fire. This is gonna be the real deal. God said, okay, you don't believe me? I'm gonna give you an example with Sodom and Gomorrah. What happens in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire came down from heaven and destroyed everything, every man, except for three persons. But actually, yeah, three. It was not even four. Because Noah's wife, not Noah's, Lot's wife, looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Okay, now, for behold, and God said, I'm going to put in the sky. What will God put in the sky to tell human beings that he will not destroy them anymore with water. A bow. And this bow, which is a covenant between God and his children and humanity, is being mimicked, is being degraded by a group of people who use it as their flag, as their landmark. And God said, don't forget what happened in the time of Lot. I am not a God that you can play with like that. And I'm serious, though I am long-suffering, though I am gracious, though I am loving, though I gave my son to die to save you, but if you play with that, you play with fire. So, and Jesus predicted, I'm going to go to my end now. Jesus predicted to Jerusalem what will happen. You remember what happened to in the time of the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 AD? Let me read for you. Thousand, because you know the Roman Empire was all over the earth, and there was an army who came to Jerusalem and besieged Jerusalem. This is what Sister White says: thousands perished from famine and pestilence. The question of the prophet: can a woman forget her second child? Received the answer within the walls of that doomed city. The hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. What? Can I read it for you one more time? The hands of the pitiful women have sodden, S-O-D-D-E-N, like serve them, their children, their own children. That means they ate their own children. Isaiah 49 verse 15. Lamentation 4 verse 10. Again was fulfilled the warning prophecy given 14 centuries before. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and to her toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her children, which she shall bear. Listen to that. For she shall eat them. For what of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. And Sister White says, you see this? This is a pale image of what will happen before Jesus comes. You have your little child that you were happy to have with your husband, and then because of hunger, you said, it is, my child is not enough for all of us. I will eat my child alone. They have done it. It will be repeated. Sister White says it. Jesus said it. It is right here. So, this is what Sister White says. The Savior's prophecy concerning the visitation of judgment upon Jerusalem is to have another fulfillment, of which that terrible desolation was but a faint shadow. Do you understand what that means? A faint shadow of what will happen in our time. And she continues, and in the fate of the chosen city, we may behold the doom of a world that has rejected God's mercy and trampled upon his law. Brothers and sisters, the real deal will come when after the millennium. There will be a the wrath of God outpoured upon humankind when Sunday law is enforced. When they come up with the Sunday law, then the Lord will manifest his anger against humanity by 7 plagues. But still, those are not the real deal. After 1,000 years that we will spend in heaven, during that 1,000 years, we will be judges. And as judges, along with Christ, with God, we will judge the devil. The Bible says it. We will judge the angels, the fallen angels, and we will judge everyone who will not be saved. After 1,000 years, we will come, and Jesus will resurrect every single last one of the wicked. They will try to take over what? The New Jerusalem. They will besiege it like the Roman army besieged Jerusalem. Like the Romans army back in the days in 70 AD besieged Jerusalem, the wicked in our time will besiege our New Jerusalem, believing that they can take it over. And what will happen? There will come from heaven a fire meant to burn Satan and his angels. But unfortunately, the majority of humankind, not believing God, not paying attention to his grace, will have to die along with their sins. They will burn in the fire. Real deal. These people nowadays have the real deal, asking us to keep Sunday as the law of the land. If we do not do that, they will come up with the death decree. But the real death decree that will take place is that of God. Brothers and sisters, it is no time to play with sin. It is no time to forget about how to keep the commandments of God, and particularly the Sabbath. It is no time to play with any iniquity. We need to give our lives to Jesus Christ, to obey him, because the real deal is come. Let us serve the Lord. Let us love each other. Let us not forget that the time of probation is nigh. If it's nigh, we need to be ready. God bless you.
Amen. Before we have our final prayer and benediction, I apologize. I omitted to mention our children are going to be going back to school. For some have already started college, but our children are going to be going back to school after the holiday. And we've all heard on the news how horror stories have taken place in our schools. And before we send them back, we want to present them to the Lord. And so, Brother Eric, I'm going to ask if you would just give a dedication prayer that God would protect our children as we prepare to send them back to the schools. It's one thing to omit, but it would be a greater tragedy. Children, if you would come, youth, if you would come before, come to the altar, it would be a greater tragedy that if we would send them to school without the protection of the God of heaven and earth. Amen? And so come on.
Amen. It's even a blessing that we have so many children.
Amen.
So many.
Let us bring them before the Lord. You who is our Father, and we are your children. Lord, we bow our heads before you this afternoon. Lord, we recognize you love us so much that you have blessed us with these little ones. And Lord, they are not ours because you gave them to us. And Lord, you commanded us to take them, take care of them for you, teach them according to your word. They are all yours, dear Lord. And so this afternoon we recognize that we have no power to be able to protect them wherever they go. But dear Jesus, because you can protect them, now we lay them unto your hands, Lord.
Amen.
Whenever they are away from us, Lord, we know the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking to devour even these little ones. And Lord, he knows that this is the future generation that you have given to us, and this is your future church that is standing before you this morning, this afternoon. So, Lord, we pray that let thy grace, thy mercy, let thy wall of protection be around them. Put your hedge of protection around them as they leave us, as they go out to school and come back home. Please, Lord, take care of them. And, Lord, we also pray for those schools they are going to. There are other many children there, Lord. And they can be a testimony to those ones too.
Amen.
We pray for the caretakers. We pray for the teachers. Lord, that as they take care of them, we know you can use anybody. You even used the worldly kings. You used everybody. But Lord, because we ask as your children, use those people that are taking care of them. Use the teachers. The Lord, they'll take care of the best care of these loved ones. Amen. And Lord, we thank you because you hear us when we cry out unto you. But Lord, I also pray for the parents, Lord, that you may also help them when they come back home. The Lord, they'll put them into your word and they'll raise them in your way, dear Jesus. The Lord, we may teach them that you are coming soon and very soon. Now, Lord, how we desire to be with them when we come home with you. So, Lord, help us that none of these ones will miss when we come home. We thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Let us do the last prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for being in our gathering today. Though we are in your dwelling place, but we can recognize your presence by what you have done, by what you said, what you taught us. This is the time that we need to have our lives together, and there is no time to waste. Give us wisdom to recognize that Jesus is about to come and that we need to be ready. There are many things that are being done around us that we are not even aware of, aiming to kill and to destroy. Kill and destroy those that you love. And those that you love are us who want to do your will, who want to allow you to have your way in our lives. Please have mercy on us. Help us to be ready, to stay ready until Jesus comes. Bless our children one more time, and your church across the globe, and this church in particular. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.